Joining us on the program, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you?
I am excellent, but we've been talking about water for most of the morning, just how we get billed for water.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2 weeks ago you were in England at a conference on water?
Yes, I was over in London, England, with the Institute of Science and Society, and a friend of mine, Professor Joe Cummins, and he's published about three articles online about the drugs that are showing up in our tap water, and how basically, you know, regulators are ignoring this problem, and consumers are drinking tap water not knowing just how contaminated their tap water is. So he did a wonderful presentation. His papers are available online. He's trying to create awareness around this issue. Because, of course, it's just unacceptable that we're drinking all of these metabolites that are coming from people who are taking a variety of different drugs, not just, you know, the legal drugs that you might find, you know, at your doctor's office or whatever, but the drugs that are on the streets. So things like cocaine and heroin and ecstasy and so on. So we're getting a whole cocktail of drugs coming out of our tap water. And really, to solve this problem, it's going to take a huge amount of ingenuity, because there's very little in terms of solutions for this problem right now. So filtration, most of the filtration systems out there are just not enough to solve this issue.
I would imagine most of the filtration systems work on, for instance, you know, the micron level, where we're able to stop pathogens or, any matter that goes through at a certain size. But when we start talking about molecules, that's going to be tough, is it not?
Yeah, it's a pretty tough problem to solve, because people don't know it's a problem, number one. So if they don't know it's a problem, they're not going to look for it. So when people are testing the water, if they're not testing for these molecules, if they're not testing to see how much of a trace of antibiotics, of statin drugs, of antidepressants, of estrogen, and so on, if they're not testing the water to see how contaminated it is for these agents, then, of course, people aren't going to test to see if any kind of filtration is adequate or not. And really, according to Joe, there's very little right now that's available on the marketplace that's going to deal with this issue.
We talk about we want to have clean water, and when we look about pathogens that have entered our water system, and of course, infamously in southern Ontario, we had the Walkerton incident where we had E. coli, so we do everything to clean our water, but then we never think about, well, we've gotten rid of the bugs in the water, but there's other things. Where do the other things come from, though? Like is it metabolized through people's system and then flushed down the toilet, or is they dumped?
Right.
Well, okay.
Both, Tom. So it's coming out through their urine, their feces. So if they're taking a prescription drug, if they're using a street drug, then basically the metabolites of those drugs are going to end up in the sewage. And, you know, they have had research to show that when they test the fish for exposure to these metabolites, there is a risk. And unfortunately, the government is ignoring this risk. So Professor Cummins has made an appeal online to say, you know, regulators have to test for the consequences of these drugs, and they have to come up with solutions, because inevitably what we have to do as a society is use the precautionary principle and say, you know what, this doesn't sound like such a good thing, you know, to have hundreds potentially of these metabolites showing up in a glass of water, and you're drinking this water and not thinking about this issue. You know, what if you have some kind of medical condition could be provoked or made worsened because you're drinking this pharmaceutical cocktail? We should be using this precautionary principle, saying if in doubt, leave it out, because if it makes us vulnerable, that's one thing. If it makes the vulnerable more vulnerable, that's another thing as well. So we have to ask ourselves, can we cope with all of this contamination in our water supply? And using the precautionary principle, I'd say the answer is no.
But isn't our body designed to cope with certain amounts of toxic material, for instance, heavy metals, where in a certain amount, you know, the body can process and rid itself of minute particles of toxic materials that the body, you know what, if I had one part per billion of some sort of pharmaceutical product, can the body deal with it, or the repercussions will be so insignificant that it's almost not worth worrying about, that there are bigger health concerns for me than whether or not I have one part per billion estrogen in me, even though males have estrogen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're so sick today as a society, we have to look under every rock imaginable to see what is contributing to this health crisis that we have today. And I would say the bottom line is I can't get somebody healthy if they don't have appropriate drinking water. That's how big this issue is, really. And so when you're talking about these agents that are showing up in the water supply, these pharmaceutical drugs, these illegal drugs that are showing up in the city water, we also have to keep in mind that city water supplies, they add things like copper and they add things like aluminum. They add the copper in there as an antifungal, and they add aluminum in there to give water its crystal clear look. And I see nothing but problems when people are over-accumulating copper and aluminum because they're drinking city water. And again, I don't think filtration is enough to really regulate this issue. So it's the perfect storm, Tom. So if you are talking about antibiotics showing up in the city water, if you're talking about estrogens showing up in the city water, statin drugs, Prozac, if you're talking about all these agents showing up in the city water, and then on top of that, you have to deal with extra copper and aluminum, and you're fortunate in your city that you don't have to deal with the extra fluoride, but in a lot of cities they do have to deal with that other toxic agent. You know, you're dealing with the body fighting to try and identify these molecules and say, ooh, how do we get rid of these molecules? And unfortunately, because we're so depleted today, so many people are so depleted, their systems are not working optimally, our detoxification ability, our ability to kick these molecules out of our body has also been compromised. It's like we're septic and our cups are full, and there's only so much we can do energetically to deal with all of this pollution. It's really, I don't think we can minimize this, Tom, at all.
Now, when we look at, I get water from the city. At least the one thing we did right, we've been talking about water rates this morning, and we've been deploring the fact that we didn't properly plan in terms of replacing our water mains and our sewers. As you've pointed out, and many of our residents will point out, one of the things we got right was fluoride. But what's my alternative in terms of I have to bathe in it, I have to shower in it. We know the body absorbs water through the skin when I'm bathing and showering in it. I'm going to have to cook with it. Sometimes I even drink it. Water is used to process food everywhere. I mean, if most cities have this problem, what's the alternative? What can we do?
I think what consumers need to do is rise up. I don't think that filtration...
Okay, march down Main Street is one thing, but I mean, practically, is there anything, do we have the science? We can't tell people, stop going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's my practical approach then?
Well, you know, what people always ask me about is filtration systems, but now we're turning clean and safe drinking water into a privilege, not a right. You know, it's a right that we have clean and safe drinking water.
All right, so, until I solve that problem, what about something like reverse osmosis?
Well, reverse osmosis water is dead water. And on top of that, what are they doing with the contaminants after they filter them out?
Well, so they're not going in my body. I don't care about that. They're not going in my body.
Yeah, but the thing is that I work with people who drink reverse osmosis water, and it can give people a very false sense of security.
What if I have a multivitamin with it?
Well, the multivitamins, again, you could be taking
What are they taking out of water? Because you're talking about, I don't know if I can win here. Because you're talking extras in water, but don't take too many of that out of the water.
Yeah,
the good stuff in water I need, but isn't there another source of the good stuff? Like a multivitamin, which is not a perfect solution, but at least I'm getting whatever trace minerals
happens when you monkey with the structure of water is, and now it's less able to potentially hydrate you at the cell level. So your ultimate goal is to find water in as natural a state as possible according to what nature intended. So that's your ultimate goal, because filtration creates a lot of problems potentially, and it can also give people a false sense of security. So if you can find water in as close to its natural state, that is what you really want, because that's what's going to better hydrate you at a cell level. That's what's going to give you the minerals in the water in the correct proportions, because ultimately,
if I drank
those minerals.
Right. If I drank distilled water, that would leach chemicals or leach minerals out of my system.
Distilled water is hungry water,
And so I want to make sure that there is some trace mineral amounts in my water, but I don't want to get all the extras that you're talking about, the pharmaceutical products, the illicit drugs, any other compounds that are in our water. But I don't see, in terms of how can I get one without the other? Because if I reverse osmosis out all of it, you're saying, well, that's not good. But what if I eat a multivitamin? Well, you don't want that. So if I can't do anything, why do I even bother worrying about
this? But this is a crisis. This is how serious this problem is that We should have, from our tap, we should have appropriate drinking water, and we're not getting it, Tom. If I have to, I tell my clients I want them to drink a spring water, because at least if they can buy a spring water, and I'm against, of course, the plastic, but I want those minerals there in balance. I want my clients to be able to be hydrated. So the top option for me is to find a spring water from a remote area, as remote as possible. So I drink a spring water from northern Quebec that hopefully has as less an influence from man as is possible. My other clients might drink another type of spring water, but there's a lot of problems with the bottled water industry, but that's unfortunately the lesser of all the evils, is to drink a high quality bottled spring water. I still don't think that's appropriate, simply because of the ethics around what happens when people are on a low budget, when people can't afford to escape the problem of drinking safe and clean water, that they can't afford filters, they can't afford bottled water. This is why I do a lot of the work that I do in terms of my activism, is because everybody deserves clean and safe drinking water. Our city councillors are asleep at the wheel. They're not doing their jobs. They're either oblivious to the fact about this issue with regards to our drinking water, or they're sedentary on the issue. They're asleep. They don't want to incur the cost. But in 2013, there has to be some technology out there that can clean our water from the municipal level. There has to be, Tom, and it can't just be fluff. It has to be real technology that is going to pull out these molecules and at the same time keep the minerals in balance. That's another second component that has to be addressed, simply because of the health that can be derived simply because of the minerals. The minerals are very, very important to be in balance in the water.
We got to go to a break, you know how they dealt with unclean water in ancient times? They distilled alcohol or brewed beer.
We could really have an addiction epidemic that much more if we turn water into
alcohol. I'm just saying, the vodka is probably a lot cleaner than the water. But as one, and I'm like, that's a whole other set of problems that we're going to have to deal with.
Look at the British Navy and the sailors.
That's right. It was clean. It was a clean supply. Nothing lived. However, there was a consequence of that. So maybe that's not the perfect solution. As one texter says, Tom, just drink rye. Problem solved. 10:48 is our time. We'll come back, talk to Pam about our water supply. This is 610 CKTV.
I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun. You know what I mean, don't you know?